back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 172. It's the final week of the regular season. Not a whole lot of fantasy content to go, so we are moving our brains to some best ball, because that's what we enjoy doing in the offseason. And Underdog Fantasy has an awesome postseason tournament, so we'll have a guest joining us shortly. We got some other little tidbits to discuss as usual, but before we get there, you can find me on Twitter at BDentric, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ. Ryan Bloomfield, how are we doing, my friend?
I'm good, man. The stars align tonight. I know this is like our, we don't have guests often, but I'm stoked for our guest tonight. I'm stoked for this entire concept of a show to talk about the pennant and then actually do a draft. Even more stoked that my kids actually fell asleep 5 minutes before the podcast started. So we are golden tonight. We are ready to draft.
You just jinxed all of that, my friend. Well done.
If the text from the wife comes, I mean, at this point, there's nothing we can do. So
you'll be drafting from your phone, right? And me and our buddy here will do the rest of the show. Before we bring him on, just a reminder, everybody, no Thursday show this week. We're moving it to Sunday night to do a recap of the season type deal. So no Thursday show this week. It's moving to Sunday night. So still two shows. Starting next week, we'll be back to Tuesdays and Thursdays as usual throughout the off season. But just to give you a reminder on that, and I think that's all the housekeeping we have, right, Ryan?
It's going to be a depressing Thursday night without our little schedule grid and hanging out with you. But we'll cope. Sunday, I'm bringing some drinks with me. We're gonna celebrate that end of season and just kind of talk about how we did on our own teams for whoever kind of cares out there. And then I guess we'll probably pick along the lines of this episode, we'll pick a postseason bracket and go from there. Something like that. Do a little postseason talk.
Yep. Sounds like a plan. In order to talk some postseason tonight, let's bring on our guest. You can find his work over at Stacking Dingers Pod. It's absolutely awesome stuff there. They have a Substack plus a YouTube channel. So check that out. He does stuff with our buddy Brendan Tuma, with our buddy Chris at B3 Isbell Baseball, the charts guru outside of, Ryan, no offense here, charts guru as well. And this gentleman runs the show over there, and he's a drafting machine, and he's apparently pretty good at football too, by the things I see recently. You can find him on Twitter at D4RKSH33P underscore, aka Dark Sheep. Sheep is joining us tonight. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing excellent, guys. Thank you for having me. You got the Twitter handle right, although you didn't quite have the rhythm that my viewers have come to love and know.
Dude, I felt like I run the podcast account, and so I was trying to like tag your name. Sheep doesn't come up anymore just because Twitter is whatever.
Yeah.
I was an old sitting there trying to type in it was like typing in an old password or something to get your tag right.
It's an old name from like back in like middle school gaming days. So, but I didn't get to Twitter fast enough either. I had to add the underscore. Somebody else has.
How does someone else have that? That's unbelievable. That's one of those conundrums of the world right there.
I don't know. Some guy in Norway or something. I don't know.
Yeah, well, leave it to the Scandinavians to have fun with that.
Leave it to the Norwegians.
Hey, I'm half Norwegian, so I get it. We're a bunch of shiesty people. Half Norwegian, half Scottish. Watch out, folks.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That's excellent.
Yes, yes. So we're hitting all the buttons tonight. But, Sheep, before we get started with our whole premise of the night, again, I kind of plugged it, but plug what you guys got going on, because we talked before the show. Your whole season content's great, but the last two episodes focusing on the pennant has been outstanding stuff.
Yeah, so stackingdingers.com, that's the Substack. It doesn't have, as of now, much other than the YouTube show. Our mission is to bring the love of best ball, baseball to the masses, or as many people as we can reach. And just kind of something I organized with some friends who I've been talking to about best ball just through Discord for a few years now. We kind of wanted a place to all come together and work together. We do a ton of content for Underdog, best ball in the regular draft season for that big contest, the dinger, which, that's where the name comes from, Stacking Dingers. And then right now we're focused on the pennant, which is the Underdog playoff contest. And if you go back the last two episodes, the first one was just kind of an overview of the contest. and talking about just the rules, the structures, and the lineups, and kind of how the prizing structure affects everything. And then the next week, we went through and kind of, well, we missed some of these wildcard teams that are on the fringe, but all the like for sure locks, we went through each team and kind of talked about how we were drafting those teams. Chris was actually all done with 150 entries into this contest because of location restriction problems for him. So he had a lot more to say on that, on how he was drafting teams. But, and then we kind of talked about who were kind of the fringe players and stuff on the teams that we were taking.
Yeah, no, Chris is nuts, but like you said, he's got the reasons behind it, because I know he does a bunch of slow drafts early. There are no slow drafts for the pennant, folks. It's all fast drafts because it's six teams, 12 people roster. So literally, it's not a long draft, folks. Quick math, 72 people. Free rolls in the chat says, poor Chris getting no Tiger stacks. Yeah, Chris somehow did 150 teams with, like, I think he didn't draft two or three teams, period. It's pretty impressive stuff.
That's hard to do.
Yeah. Before we get into the drafting, the goal is to do two drafts tonight while we're on air and kind of talk in between a bunch of stuff here. But I want to lead it to Sheep, and Ryan, you can jump in if you have any questions. But the premise, it's again, six teams, 12 players per team. You start three pitchers, one infield, one outfield, two flex. It's typical best ball format. Scoring is the same. And then you kind of go on through the different rounds per se. But what are some of the key takeaways, I guess, of looking at the event or how you're attacking this kind of structure? Through, you said you've done 20 drafts so far. So how are you approaching this format compared to like a different, say, full season baseball or something like that?
Yeah. So before I get to that, one other thing, the Sheep Seats every like Friday or Saturday night, that's my YouTube channel where I do the live drafting. The Stacking Dinger is sort of like pre-recorded focus stuff, and then Friday or Saturday night just sort of a hangout and draft stream. But yeah, so the biggest thing to know about this contest is that is how it's structured, how it's three rounds. The first round is wild card plus the second series. I was mixed up. That's
divisional round. Divisional round.
So the scoring comes from the first round. You have to beat your pod of six people that you drafted with with those games scored. And then you move on to another pod, which has a randomized six people from the winners of the other pods that were drafted. And then that's the championship series by itself. And then you get into a 312 person final, where you compete against everybody for basically all of the money is in that round. So just advancing gets you your money back. So really, when you're trying to build these teams, the most important thing is to think about how you're going to win that last round, because otherwise, like, why are you even playing if you just want to get your money back?
Yeah, so that's a great point.
What you want to do is, or what we've sort of come up with as the meta, is that you want to be live in that final to have all of your roster spots full. So you essentially want to have seven players from either one or two teams in a World Series matchup that you're picking. So you can almost think of it as kind of a futures contest too, if you want to think about it that way. Last year is a great example. So when we went into the playoffs, like, pretty much nobody would have predicted a Texas-Arizona. So World Series, and the way it ended up is that I forget the exact amount of team. Chris
was 12. It was 12 out of the whole pool drafted D-backs and Rangers. I remember that much.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah. 12 had a full, every player was from Diamondbacks or Texas on their roster that they drafted. And obviously through it, you can't get those teams 100% through to the finals even. So in the end, there was only five people in the finals that had a full lineup of those two teams, and they finished first through fifth and won pretty much all of, I don't know what percentage of the prize pool, but most of it.
Yeah, it's crazy to think about, because I laughed when Chris said that seven teams didn't even make it there, but it makes sense. When you're building your team, you still got to advance. And, you know, the D-backs swept the Brewers. So they got hamstrung there. The Astros had a bye. Like, there's little things like that could have prevented you from getting through, because some teams in the early rounds might have gone, quote unquote, off script and had multiple teams that did well and advanced, but then they don't get to the big part at the end. Ryan, you got any questions for Sheep here?
No, I mean, it basically, and I've done two or three of these, and also listened to the Stacking Dingers show, which I will fully endorse. I actually texted you, Bubba, like while I was listening to the show. I was like, we need to do our next show and live draft one of these things. For me, it's a complete kind of flip from our season long roto, which is kind of what we've been talking about all year. And it's like player analysis, projections. To me, it's almost like what you said, Sheep, about you're betting like a few, you're drafting futures. You're basically just drafting two major league teams. You're drafting an AL team and an NL team. And it's almost, I don't want to say the players you pick don't matter, because of course they do. I mean, that's what we're doing here. But to me, this is almost more of just a game theory exercise on which to, you know, if you can hit on the two teams that make it to the World Series, you're golden. I've also, but there's so much, it's so much deeper than that too. Like, I had a draft earlier today where I decided I'm going to pick the Dodgers and the Orioles. I'm going to draft players from those two teams. And I kind of got stuck because they don't complement each other very well. Like, neither of those pitching staffs are very deep. So, like, I didn't get Corbin Burns in that. And I found myself totally screwed in pitching, because if I'm going to stick with those two teams, I'm drafting like Landon Knack and freaking, you know, all these other guys. So it's I think even more of a game theory kind of high level strategy thing than it is any kind of player analysis or picking players. Cause we can't, I don't think we can project player performance well at all over like a short series or even postseason. So it's totally, for me, it's totally flipped, and it's a lot of fun.
You can even get into in that example, you can get even further into the game theory hole and say that, okay, I have more Dodgers hitters. So even though, you know, I might not like these Dodgers pitchers, the theory that I'm going here is that the Dodgers are winning and through their offense, and the Orioles aren't winning through their offense. Is you know, their offense is maybe not scoring as much. So maybe it doesn't even matter if the pitcher stinks. It's just, they're going to score more than even an Oriole pitcher that I have, because I have these Dodgers bats that are taking him out.
Yep.
Yeah. It's an interesting concept, because in the few that I've done, it's like certain teams, even like their sixth, seventh, eighth hitters, you could see having a good series, where so then like you want the ace pitchers and just draft a couple of the back end hitters type scenarios, where like the Astros could, they like, you can get Pena and someone like Myers super late if you want to go and get, you know, say a Framber and someone up top or something along those lines, and you could have a bunch of other teams. But I just drafted an Astros Dodgers stack, and to Ryan's point, the Dodgers pitching outside after you get to Flaherty and Yamamoto, it's bleak in the streets. And it forces your hand elsewhere, because you do want to make sure if you are at the end, you have at least three pitchers. So it's kind of an important part of the game theory, where you're sitting there going, okay, I'm going to take this hitter. Wait a minute. Nope, we're not. So in essence, ADP goes out the window once you start picking your teams, because you want to lock in the rosters. Sheep, I got a question for you, though. So 12-team rosters, you want to get to the finish line. Seven players is your final roster, obviously. It's a best ball format, so it'll give and take who your best seven are. So perfect world, you have 12 total players from the World Series, pick the seven best scores, you move on. But you could still survive with just seven from the game in theory. So do you ever see yourself taking, like, you know, maybe like I've written down kind of the theory that Chris had on our show, but just asking you is, would you see a world where you take six or seven from the team you think is going to dominate? And again, game theory, who knows, you're just predicting. And then so your other six, like five or six spots, maybe you split it up three and three. And from like, say you take the Astros, because you think they're going to win the ALCS. And now you're going to go take three teams or two teams in the NL. Do you see a world where you pick opposite brackets, go three and three, like a pitcher, two hitters, whatever, and do that and try to advance?
Yeah. So I'm not as strict as Chris on the two team rule. I do dabble on the three team side of things. Not exactly fitting this format, but my best lineup last year got 13th. And that was a Texas Phillies stack. And it had the seven players from Texas that could score and fill the lineup. And obviously the Phillies scored amazing all through the playoffs till they hit that, you know, that intense Arizona buzzsaw that we all saw coming. But so that kind of idea definitely does work and can pay off, you know, more than that min cash in the finals. I tend to go to three teams more often when my big stack is from a buy team.
That's what I was thinking.
Because the idea there being that in that first round, you're missing out on potential wild card games for that big stack team. Since they have the bye, they miss one, two, three games, or I guess two or three games. And so the theory being that the two that I'm picking from the other side of the board, from the other league, are both wildcard teams. A good example is, I think it was Phillies, and then Kansas City and Cleveland.
Okay.
I guess that doesn't really fit that model, but the idea does. I think that idea does work. Where you're saying a team is going to dominate in the World Series, and then I have two actually outs to their opponent in the World Series by taking two or three from two teams on the opposite side of the board.
Perfect. Anything else we should discuss before we start throwing darts at the wall?
Even to go further into that theory, once we know the bracket, you want those two teams to not be facing each other,
right?
Potentially,
that's the key
in the divisional round, in the divisional round, because
that I have screwed up myself. Draft. I'm like, oh shit, they're playing each other.
Speaking of the brackets, right now, if it ended on Tuesday, September 24th, with a lot of things still up in the air in the wild card, it would be Royals Astros in the opening wild card and Tigers Orioles. Royals Astros would face the Guardians and Tigers Orioles would face the Yankees, I believe. And then you have D-backs Brewers in the wild card and Mets Padres in the wild card. Again, subject to change, but that's where things sit at this point in time. If the Giants keep whooping up on that ass, it's going to be tough to get the D-backs through there. I'm going to say that much, but and that's what makes it fun. Cause the D-backs, I think we can all agree, is a pretty potent team when they're clicking, but being the sixth team and the Braves won tonight, D-backs are getting smoked again. This could flip-flop in a hurry, and then your whole D-backs thing is kaput.
Yeah, I don't know who they face this weekend.
I can tell you right now, D-backs face the San Diego Padres.
Okay. Yeah, that's going to be huge.
Yeah, and the Braves face the Royals to make things even more fun. Wow, we got a lot of playoff baseball coming up this weekend.
Who knows what the Braves are going to do with it, with the hurricane coming. That's going to be...
That's true.
That series with the Mets, but
I'm gonna be there on Saturday for the Brewers Mets game. So
awesome!
Oh, nice. We're getting in that last. Well, hopefully we'll get a playoff game in, but the family's going for one more regular season game.
That's awesome. But all right, you guys ready to try to jump in a draft together?
Yeah.
Let's see if we can.
On the count of three. One, two, three, go.
Oh, come on!
I think that worked.
I might have to go off.
Still loading, so we'll see. But yeah,
mine say you couldn't.
Ryan's going to share the draft board, and it won't work.
If I can.
Okay, mine starts in 49 seconds, but it's not even the board isn't even loading right now.
Can you start your or can you share your board, Bubba? It wouldn't let me do it.
My stuff's not even loading. This is great, great podcasting. There we go. I got Dark Sheep in here. Yeah, Brian is not in this draft. So
So I get to toast you guys.
Yep, you get to have some
fun. Oh, no, I'm in a different draft. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, we're going to have a lot of fun here. I'm going to pull up the board and...
pull up your board. I'm going to do a draft while you're... Oh, man, this is going to be... Bjorn Masterson is in my draft.
There you go.
There you go.
First active pennant. Let me see where the draft board is.
Did you guys start already?
It starts. I'm up in three picks, but I don't even know where the draft board. There it is. Allow. So I'm going to try to do this. This is going to be fun. I don't need that. I'm trying to find the freaking board. Why is this not? Hey,
all right. So on the right side, there's a grid next to your team.
I see it. I got it.
Click
I got that, it.
And then click the little arrow button.
Yeah, I got it. This happens when you have Bubba in charge of things here. Yeah.
Well, while you're getting that to go, I do want to share just one tip from my experience drafting so far this year is if you take someone from New York, from the Dodgers, from Houston, from Philly, you should expect you should have a plan that somebody is going to snipe you on that team.
Yeah. Oh yeah, there's no doubt about that.
It doesn't happen 100% of the time, but there is a chance that that is going to happen.
Which all those teams, because Soto, I think Soto and Judge are top first round ADPs. Like, it's a decision. It's a decision to make.
Right. Yeah. So, so
you wouldn't
don't get. You know, you want to tilt when you get sniped, but you have to have a plan going into it.
I just got sniped right there.
And this is a really common occurrence with the Phillies because they all have top ADPs.
That doesn't worry me though.
You started Wheeler, right? I'll kind of MC your guys' draft while I'm in this other draft. This is a disaster. Second draft will be better. So you started Wheeler and then Sheep, you from the fourth pick, Sheep, you went Gunnar Henderson, Corbin Burns. So you're obviously doing an Orioles stack. Bubba took Trey Turner in the second round. So Bubba's doing a Philly stack. And what I've seen a lot of times is people like don't reveal their second stack until later. They kind of pick a bunch from the same team first. And that's what's happening in this draft. There's a Phillies team, there's a Houston team. And one of the huge draft dynamics for these things that I've noticed is like you obviously don't know what the other teams in your league are going to do, which teams are they going to pick. So it's interesting from that aspect.
I will say that in, you know, talking about the split teams this year is different than previous years. Like last year, the Braves were split between three teams, like almost every draft, three people would jump in on the Braves because they were thought to be so dominant. So in the case of last year, I was on a full fade of the Braves because it just wasn't worth my commitment to them to know the team is going to get split. The chance that the Braves go to the playoffs compared to how they're being taken just didn't make any sense. But this year is different. I'm in on all these top teams because I can feel like I can build winning lineups with any of them.
Mm-hmm. One all super interesting thing in this draft, the first two teams both went Yankees-Dodgers.
That happens. I've noticed that in both my first two drafts.
I think that's common for Judge and Shohei.
But Dassey did take Dylan Cease here, so...
You're right. Yep.
Tipped his hand.
They might be going full goblin mode.
Tom DeCola, real quick in the chat, says, so since not as many opportunities for points as a pitcher, do you go more than three pitchers, i.e. no bench pitchers? What are your thoughts on that? Do you go more aggressive on pitching than you would normally, I guess?
I guess I don't understand what bench pitch. Oh, like that you wouldn't have?
Yeah, I guess because there's less opportunity for pitching points or something.
I definitely usually go four or five pitchers every time. Usually one from the usually want the ace from the other side of the board because you want that score as you're advancing, even if you end up not scoring them in the World Series because your main team dominates. You do want that kind of ace score to help push you along the advancing.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. How's your draft going, Ryan? Got some fans of Bourne in the chat.
Here. Not well, man. Not well. I did. I'm going to do a Yankees Orioles, which doesn't make any sense. I need to pick an NL team. I did Judge, Chisholm, and then Burns to start.
See, I'm already digging myself a hole. I got Wheeler, Nola. I have Turner, and Baum, but my outfield's already feeling the pain, it feels like, on this one. How are we feeling on yours?
I am going a little off script here. I did, even though two people split Ohtani and Betts, I kind of like the idea. I think this will be a unique team, a Baltimore Dodgers stack. And I kind of put a claim there on the pitching. So we'll maybe, and also I don't know what Jay Dassey is doing. So I might only still be fighting with Barton for Dodgers.
Yeah, Jay Dassey, Ohtani, Cole, CeCe. I don't think he knows what he's doing right now at the moment, but maybe he does. We'll see. He's got a badge, so that must mean something important. So he's got that going for him.
You're the only one without a badge, Bubba.
I know, I'm special.
Why don't you have a badge?
Because you have to draft a million drafts to get one.
I don't have a badge.
Yeah, she filled me in on it one time on what you have to do, and it's requirements could take a long time for me to get to.
But A lot of my hours, my screen time hours are on this app, so that corresponds to the badge somewhat too.
Bubba, are you going to reveal your AL team?
I keep deciding what I want to do because people keep taking my AL thoughts, so it's not clicking.
Has anyone taken Houston guys?
Yeah, they took Tucker. That's what I was looking at because I needed outfield. I wanted to take him with my last pick, and I didn't. I'm tempted to sneak in some Detroit here in a minute, but I don't know how well that's going to work.
This is what I mean, though. It's just weird. Like, I'm looking at teams.
I need an outfielder badly, so I'm taking Austin Hayes, which I'm absolutely freaking not happy about.
Whoa. In the fifth round?
Yeah, why is the draft not updating on the sheet there? Is it? Oh, it is. Okay.
You took Austin Hayes.
Yeah, this is why you throw it out the window. I needed an outfielder badly.
You're gonna, all the underdog bros are gonna roast you for light mode, though. I have to say.
Oh, sorry. I don't even know why.
Mine's light mode too. Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Oh well.
You're talking to the wrong guy on this one.
If you post any screenshot, the underdog bros will come at you.
Come get me.
How do you? Oh yeah, you can flip it. Ooh, that's nice.
This is horrible. I hate this draft so much right now.
Bubba, flip it to night mode while you're on the clock. Let's see. Yeah. You need to pick a AL team.
Yeah, I will eventually. Don't you worry about me, Ryan. How do I flick it to night mode? Where's the button for this?
On the draft screen.
Yeah.
Up by your.
I got it.
Okay.
Well, no, that's location. That needs to stay on.
No, just on the up. Other on the other screen where you're picking your players.
This so reminds me of draft season, like when Bubba was trying to. When he misspelled Brandon Fott and he timed out on the clock.
You guys suck. There you go. You happy now?
Meanwhile, while Bubba's trying to get into night mode, he's drafting Austin Hayes in the fifth round.
I got to reopen the draft room so it's in
night mode. What happened to the screen?
I had to reopen it in night mode because it wouldn't just auto do it.
I don't have any room to talk. I joined the wrong – I couldn't join, so I'm in the wrong draft.
This is how we do things around here.
It'll be better for podcast listeners. It'll be better in about 10, 15 when we get back in the same draft.
Yeah. But so, Sheep, how are you liking your deal? Because I got to figure out what American League team I'm going to roll with here in a minute.
So, I got Baltimore and a Dodgers team just because I think that's a combo I don't have. And, I didn't know what these guys were doing with the Dodgers. That took Ohtani and Betts. Like, I don't love having a Dodger stack without Ohtani because it seems like, no matter what, he's going to dominate. I'll probably build this a large Baltimore team and a small Dodgers.
Yeah, I'm thinking I'm going to do a large Phillies, a small Astros, and then a small. We'll see what the other team looks like.
Because the Austin Hayes, who like isn't even on a team,
he's activated from the IL. He's on the Phillies. You jabron. Come on,
that's the fourth team. Free agent.
No, he's playing. DFA. He's activated today.
I know.
He's one of your favorite players.
Are you going to take Eloy next?
No, he got sent to AAA. I'm well aware of that one.
There we go, Sheep. I like that one. I'm interested to see what you do. Okay, so you just took Zach Eflin because that was my struggle. Like I was saying earlier, with a Baltimore Dodger team was. trying to find later pitching. And I mean, it helped that you got Burns and Flaherty second, fourth round.
Yeah,
I'm sure. That has to be a priority with those two teams.
Yeah, that's exactly why I took Flaherty instead of like Teoscar or something like that.
Yeah.
So I am pretty weak on outfield here.
Yeah, that's where I'm feeling the pain too.
But I just think it's crazy to be taking Cedric Mullins over Colton Cowser right now.
I love Cedric Mullins.
I could probably get both in the way this room is falling. But
look at Jake Myers, Austin Hayes, best outfielders I got, boys. Watch out.
Oh my God.
I am not happy about this at all.
Normally we say do as Bubba does, but not in this one.
Well, I learned in my first two drafts today that I'm like, Zach Wheeler early makes sense. And then boom goes to dynamite on that one. So
I do think, yeah, that Zach Wheeler, if you're going to go Phillies, take him first and take whatever hitter comes back. But yeah,
if I should have went out. Well, all the offloaders were gone. Schwarber went. Harper was gone. Like, I was kind of hosed in that. I guess I should have went Casty. I should have been more aggressive on Casty, I guess. God, this is so much fun. I love it. all right, so we're looking at the teams here. We got Judge, Betts, Soto. Like, honestly, I understand the concept of a Yankees Dodgers stack, but like you've mentioned, you got to get to the dance for that to work. Like, if they both sweep their opening rounds, they might not get there. It's like a realistic situation.
That's the trick for me. The trickiest part of this whole thing is getting through that first round and who to take on by, who to take on, you know, on wild card teams.
And so that person did go into Cleveland now, too, and they have a Padres player too, so they might be feeling that too. They're getting an elite Tatis and elite Jose to try and push them through.
That could make sense because then you get through and you can go from there, like we talked about. So that's kind of one of my philosophies after this next pick. So now I have six Phillies and three Astros, so I got something in case they get to the
really
finals.
Really, you have five Phillies and Austin Hayes.
Oh, but Jesus, here we go. Do I need to pull clips of the during the season when you were all about Austin Hayes as the best fantasy pick up on the waiver wire, like multiple weeks?
That was a good pick. It was a good pick.
I'll ask you guys, what do you think Grayson Rodriguez's role is going to be in the playoffs at this point?
He's not even traveling with the team right now.
Yeah, I don't think he starts. And I think if he does, I don't see. I think the best outcome for fantasy-wise is he's like some kind of piggyback follower type guy who goes 3-4 innings. Okay. And I don't know. And an underdog, I don't know, because quality starts is a big deal. Obviously, wins are a big deal. So I don't know about Grayson. He'd be really late for me.
I just took him because it's, Do I want Dean Kramer?
Like, that's, I mean, but that's, yeah, that's the problem. Like, with Suarez, Albert Suarez, like, who might pitch. That's the issue with going with Baltimore. The lineup is so damn deep. But
now, does Detroit shock the world? Because that's where we're going, folks.
I mean, Detroit.
My second AL team. I wanted Scooble, but Scooble went just a second before I was going to get him.
Scooble's fascinating because you either get nothing or you get like game one of the wild card and potentially another start in the division series, and he's super cheap because I think a lot of these drafts people don't or haven't, at least until the last few days, really thought that the Tigers could make it. But
Tigers and Royals aren't going anywhere in this drafts.
I haven't seen many Royals taken at all.
Yeah. Even Cleveland, even though they are locked in, isn't being taken. There's some teams that people don't really believe in. You have the, you know, the max volume players here that understand the mission, and you'll see them as you do rooms, you'll start to recognize names of guys that are going deep into those teams. I did one right before the show to see if anything had really changed in ADP since a few days ago when I drafted, and somebody was moved into Detroit in like the fourth round because, you know, they're just trying to cover all of these combos. And sometimes you want to get into those rooms because, you know, I did a Padres Cleveland build there. And with the two of us going deep into the player pool to begin with, like other people are getting some nice combos. So it is tough. I will say it is, as fun as this is, it is tough to feel like, especially if you listen to the little content that's out there, it's tough to feel confident that you are going to win anything if you only do a few. So I do kind of dislike that about the format, that it, you know, it does reward volume kind of a little bit, yeah. But in that case, like if that is your restriction, like I can only throw 50, 100 bucks at this contest each year. Like, I think you just got to be thinking about it more than, you know, I'm going to maybe realize this in 5 years. You know, you just have to be realistic.
It could be worse. You could have just taken Justin Verlander. So
is that you?
No, I'm taking you, Darvish, just to give me another pitcher for the first two rounds. Like, I'm at the point where I'm hoping Houston and Philadelphia gets to the dance, and I'm picking pieces to help me get there right now. I've gone off script with the last few pieces, basically.
That's kind of my outlook with this whole thing, because I'm more of that casual player sheep to what you were just talking about. Probably do like 10 drafts, 5 to 10 or something like that. For me, it's just a way to like root for some teams in the playoffs and have a little bit of rooting interest in the postseason. Normally, I don't do any postseason stuff, but this is so easy and fun to do that's kind of how I view it.
Right. Yeah.
So for anybody, I mean, anyone out there who hasn't done this before is interested in it. Like if you kind of take that approach as opposed to trying to do all these volume entries and that sort of thing, at least for me, I'm content with my outlook on it.
Yeah, anyone that sees Ryan's name in there, you know, you got $10 in your pocket. So it's all,
especially dude, in this draft I'm doing on the side. I don't even, it's really bad. Yeah, I'm not even going to show my board because Bubba, you'll go.
I'll enjoy it. You're saying
you will enjoy
all that trash talking.
You will enjoy it. I timed out twice.
So, and then I grabbed a couple good outfielders for the first rounds to help me hopefully get to the next rounds. That was kind of the plan there. So we'll see.
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty disrespected how nobody drafted Brewers here.
I just drafted Jackson Chourio with my last pick. Like I need to, what I've noticed in my first three, like I love the Phillies. I feel like I need to take more wild card teams in the NL and more secure teams in the ALs. What my early thoughts are on things. Cause like the Brewers, I like the D-backs. I like the Padres. I love, there's arguments I can make so I can pivot easier in the National League. I think where the American League, it's like, it's Yankees, it's Astros. The Guardians don't get enough love. I'll give you that. But, like, are we really thinking the Tigers and the Royals are getting that far? They could prove us wrong, but, like, for reals? So it feels like you can make an argument for, like, 4 to 5 teams in the National League and, like, 3 teams in the AL.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to go by Fangraph's algorithm, you know, Guardians have a better World Series chance than the Orioles.
Well, there you go.
Wow.
By a couple percent.
I mean, I could see that.
Essentially, that comes down to the fact that they have to win another series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. No, the Orioles have to win another series. Yeah. So it's not that it's saying that when you think about the teams, you think the Orioles are better, but they have to, you know, get through the randomness of baseball for a whole series. Just to lose those couple of percentage points to get to the World Series.
All right. This draft's in the books. We'll recap this draft in a minute, but I want to get some listener questions here. Tom says, so stack two teams as much as you can, but grab some top single players that would probably dominate in round one. I guess kind of what we've been discussing here of late. Like perfect world, you get two teams and they both get to the World Series and you got the nuts, but you feel like that's not a bad idea, Sheep?
I do. That is something I do more. But you know, everything that we've seen play out in the winning teams is that they don't get there as much. You know, you just have so much better of a chance if your team is just, you have so many outs in the World Series of a player to score. But you know, I do understand it, and you do need to advance, and maybe, you know, getting to the finals is enough to make it, you know, profitable and fun for you too.
Free Roll has a fun tongue-in-cheek question. If you're doing fewer drafts because you're poor or whatever, do you think you get more equity by drafting against ownership common? Like, so it's the old like DFS mindset. If you're in fewer lineups, do you be more contrarian in theory? So like, should you go in with the Tigers or a Royals stack up against something or something like that is kind of an angle I think he's hinting at.
Yeah. I think the true answer is what's your risk tolerance?
That's fair.
And I know him, and he's high risk. So I think,
but is he poor? That's really the question.
He likes free that. Rolls, so I don't know. That's good. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. This is the thing. Like Chris mentioned, like I mentioned it to him for like just like the common player that wouldn't mind, you know, at least doubling your money, maybe getting like, you know, $50 back instead of the whole shebang. You could go more like a three man stack, like you can go heavy and just get to the final round at 312. And you'll get at least a good return back. You just won't probably win the whole darn thing.
Yeah, for sure. I think three team builds make sense if you are lower on the risk tolerance level.
All right, let's recap things real quick in this one. Sheep, you went Gunner, Corbin, Freddie, Flaherty, Rushman, Teoscar, Eflin, Mullins, Kowser, Grayson, Kramer, Mountcastle. That is a heavy Oriole stack with a splash of the Dodgers. How are we feeling on that one?
I like it. I got in my favorite last round Oriole in Ryan Mountcastle. Good. I think he's been forgotten about, but always when it come, you know, we come back to the projections. He's, you know, in a daily contest, he's if he's in the lineup, he's going to project higher than Jackson Holliday and, you know, some of the fringe young guys that don't have that consistency.
Yep, that is fair. I went heavy Phillies with Wheeler, Trey, Nola, Bohm, Hayes, and Christopher Sanchez, and then I sprinkled in some Astros and Diaz, Myers, and Pena, and then just got some guys to hopefully get to the second or third round with Green, Darvish, and Churio. Yeah, not ideal. Just going to point that one out there real quick, but I'll let the peanut gallery have at it. What do you think, Ryan?
I got no room to talk. One thing that I just thought of, and Sheep, I mean, just really a question for both you guys. So, like, we talk about, like, not many people taking Cleveland, not many people taking Milwaukee. How much of that is almost a draft room psychology thing? Because there's nobody on those teams that even have, like, a second or third round ADP. So, if you're going to stack those two teams, by default, you are taking someone in the first round who is – I don't know if they're a first rounder or not, but by ADP, they're like a fourth or fifth rounder. You're having to jump by four or five rounds in the first round.
That's something I'm absolutely guilty of. That's why I have a huge amount of Phillies teams and a huge amount of Houston teams.
Yep.
And that's where, you know, I think someone like Chris has the advantage because he didn't really have a chance to think through all his drafts. And sometimes he was just queuing up teams because it was the middle of the night when his draft was firing. And so he was able to get some of those combos just by necessity that, like, oh, nobody's going to take these guys off me, so I'm going to queue these up and just turn on autopilot.
Yeah, because, I mean, every like you said, every league has these kind of same stacks. Like, there's always Yankee stacks because Judge goes first. There's always Dodger stacks because Otani usually goes second, and so on and so forth. So some of those teams that don't have those kind of bona fide first rounders, I don't know. I have not seen as many be picked.
Yeah, and I'm looking here. We got like a heavy Philadelphia with a sprinkle of Houston by another player in this draft. We see a nice Houston with an Arizona-San Diego combo, which I don't mind because it gives you like the team you expect in the that'd be a strategy I wouldn't hate at all. And then a lot of Dodgers, Yankees, but with late round picks to kind of help him get through, it seems like. So a weird draft to me, because it feels like Sheep and Ryan, you guys can tell me what you've noticed early on. It feels like in like my first few drafts, it was at least four teams, if not five, were just pretty clearly like two team stacks for the most part. And then one just off the wall. This one seems like it's maybe two teams that were pretty focused on, or at least maybe everyone was focused, just things changed, but it was mainly two teams with two team stacks and then a lot of kind of filling in the blank teams on the other sides. So what are your thoughts on that from what you guys have done so far?
For me, those filling in the blank teams are like the desperation move at the end of the draft. At least I kind of run out on guys on my current two teams that I even like. So, and there's good names. I mean, there's great names available at the end. I mean, like your boy, Bubba, William Contreras, second to last pick. I mean,
I think I need to make I need to make a Brewer stack, Freddie Peralta, and then get pitchers from the other team because there's nobody else in Milwaukee.
Yeah, I think it is totally room to room dependent. You know, what players you get in there, if they're sticking to the lanes, and even I didn't draft normally in this one. You know, Most of the time, I wouldn't have gotten into Dodgers here because I'd be fighting over them. But I don't know. I just kind of wanted to show a different build on stream too.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. All right, I'm going to close this one out, and then a few like I'll give the cue here shortly, but we'll try to jump in one, and we'll try to get Ryan in this.
We'll try this again.
And I'm on dark mode, so we got that going for everybody. But we'll try to get Ryan on this. But what's your end game, Sheep? You said you've done about 20 drafts. How many do you plan on doing?
I'll probably shoot for 50 to 75. I don't know. It's going to depend on time. The other thing is, we're 48% full. Like this contest is notorious for having a little bit of empty room at the end.
Nice.
So, but I think it is filling at a faster rate than I remember. I don't track that sort of stuff, but I think it should fill this year. But if it's not going to, I might just throw in more at the end. So that's kind of why I have a range. I'm definitely not a totally max enterer on these contests.
All right. You guys ready?
Yeah, hold up.
Yeah, let's get Ryan ready on this one.
All right, I'm ready to hit enter, yeah.
3, 2, 1, go. Watch us, none of us getting the same one.
All right, I'm in. I'm waiting for one person.
I got one more to start. Draft right, starts soon. Store filled.
I'll share my board.
All right. I purposely didn't get in there because I want to watch you guys.
All right.
Be a little more.
Yeah, Bloomfield's got the 6th pick. I got the first. I hate the early pick, honestly, because you're almost forced to go
Yankees or Dodgers.
I have no Yankees.
You don't have to.
I have no Yankees yet, so this might be a Yankees draft, but I don't want to. I came into this thinking, okay, let's get creative on this. Let's see where we go. But
I mean,
hey, dark mode, Jabron.
Nah. We're going. Look at this. Look at this.
Well, you know how to zoom.
Full production value. I actually know how to zoom this thing in a little bit. I'm glad we're on opposite sides, Bubba. Yeah.
Hey, Sheep, real quick. How many pitchers do you take usually, according to Michael C?
4 or 5.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. I'm at 4 or 5. I try to make sure. And I try to have at least 3 I think I'm going to the World Series with. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, you want 3 from your main stack. Assuming that team gets to the World Series, and you know, then you have a full roster to cover the World Series, even if your second team doesn't get there.
God, I hate this. I really, really do.
Bubba, you have 1-1. How can you hate this? You don't need to take Dodgers or Yankees.
Yeah. Oh, then we don't have to. Da-da-da.
And I guess this is where I was saying, like, you got to know that you're going to get split, and you got to
win. But it's like these teams also have depth compared to other teams, it feels like. Could be totally wrong. Not in pitching for the Dodgers, that's for darn sure. So you got to like pick an AL team that you can trust the pitchers with. That's why I go to the Houston. I love the Houston pitching staff.
Yeah.
I should have went Yankees, and then there's more options. And I totally pigeonholed myself all over again.
Because you're not going to get like the big thing for you, Bubba, is Cole going to make it back to you?
And that's going to be a big fat.
No, he went Dodgers.
Yeah, but
my bad. Yeah, never mind. Don't listen to me.
I know. I usually don't. But yeah, we're going to see how this goes. But man, it's Judge Jordan. We're going Chalk City right out the gate here. What are you thinking, Ryan?
I want to go totally off the wall and do Cleveland Brewers.
Okay, see, I was thinking.
But like I said, it is completely like you're completely jumping ADP. Like Freddie Peralta is a 30 ADP, and that's the top guy on any of those two teams.
Yeah, but you're not going to make that combo unless you do it.
Yeah, you got to have Freddie for that combo.
Exactly. You have to have Freddie for that combo.
But Sheep, don't you notice though, like those Brewers and stuff fall? So if you want to take the risk, you can gamble on Freddie coming back to him at the turn.
Yeah, but who's going to take?
Oh, yeah, it's true. Willie? That's true.
Who else am I going to take?
Exactly. J-Ram and Freddie, is that your 1-2 are? Give your hand right out the gate of the two teams you're going for.
Yeah. So, I mean,
that's what I'm going to do. Cause I just want to try it, but like, I don't think it mattered. Like, I don't think other people are going to care if I do Cleveland, Milwaukee.
You know, it was very entertaining to me in my early draft. My first one I did, someone took Savali in the first round.
Hey, my man.
I thought you hacked a system, Ryan.
That's
That's something people keep asking me, being the Brewers fan, is, you know, who am I taking after Freddie? And I say just roll the dice. I mean, I'm probably not, I don't know. I like Montas and Savale just because of experience, you know, holding up in a playoff game. I feel like they're all just a flat line after Freddie.
Oh, Dodger fan Bubba. Jack Flaherty and Yamamoto.
Yeah, I got their only two pitchers that matter, so now we move on to the American League.
I like it. And the other thing, as you do these, and you get in similar rooms, like, you know, just being the sicko that I am, I know I draft against two of these people often, so I know that they're going to stay in their lanes. And then, you know, you see if the first couple of rounds go through like this, and you can then kind of start feeling comfortable that people are going to stay in their lane. So, like, it can go just room to room, and, like, your decision-making has to change room to room because how the room is going to act. And, you know, that's just why I love this contest, too.
Like, I think you're talking Whip Doyle, I'm guessing, is probably a guy that stays in his lane, because I really want to take some starting pitchers from the Astros right now.
That's our guy, Free Rolls.
Okay, so he's listening to the show, so he already knows.
He knows our tell. What's your AL team, Bubba?
Well, I always like the Astros, but, like, I'm looking at the options that are left. I could, like, Burns went, so the Orioles are out the window. So do I just say Tigers or Royals and roll the dice on a red hot Tigers team? Take Trigg Skubal and start having some fun. That's one way to be different. I'll tell you that much.
It is.
I like it.
Yeah, I think we're gonna go Skubal here, and we're gonna really light up the freaking scoreboard in the early rounds, at least.
So you've got three pitchers. Okay, so you're gonna have to. The problem is you're gonna have to take a bunch of Tiger bats.
No, there's a lot of. They won't be taken as early, so now you can go back to the Dodgers now and go get like a.
It depends on your mortgage pro there if how deep they go into Dodgers in these next two picks.
Yeah, if they want to screw me over here and take it. But see, I took the outfielders. He's got the infielders. Does he want to go Muncy and really screw me up, or does he want to go get an outfielder from he's got outfielders from the Yankees and infielders from the Dodgers? That's an interesting predicament to be in. Because now you're relying on getting through the first round with two teams on a bye and no infielders or outfielders right now, potentially.
That's true.
And no pitching yet to top it off, because I have both the Dodgers pitchers and Cole is off the board. So you might want to go Nasty Nestor or something here pretty soon.
And it's bad. Another little tip, you know, in the images that you can use, and if you're getting into your room, the badges are, you know, generally a good sign of I'm saying that generally since you guys don't have badges, but we know you're gonna stay in your lanes. You understand it. So, like, if you're getting to the room, it is always worth it to look and just kind of get an estimation of, oh, hey, these guys draft a lot, these people draft a lot. Like, I feel pretty confident that that's good. If there's a non-badge that, and you don't recognize their name, like the wonderful Casey Bubba, you might be thinking that there's a little more risk in the room
of me going off the wall, basically.
Yeah. But then if you look, like, raise it 77 there, you can see he's got a little horns on his dog there. You know, it's really tough to zoom in, or it's kind of small, but that indicates that they've won a battle royale contest underdog. So no, that's good in this contest, because you know that person is clued into what's going on, and they're gonna, you know, 95% of the time stay in their lane. So just a little tiny tip if you're not used to underdog and you're trying it out for the first time, and you're trying to read the room a little bit, just some, like, the psychology of the room. You can kind of get an idea through the pictures.
I got to say, Cleveland and Milwaukee, especially Cleveland, it's kind of a brutal squad.
Yeah, Cleveland is a good real-life team, very challenging for fantasy team.
Like, Is Stephen Kwan alive, Bubba? Is he coming back?
They're hoping he's back this weekend.
So am I if I draft him. But that's a bad pick. Well, he'll go extremely late.
Yeah, look at Tom in the chat's helping you out. Go get Naylor, buddy.
Yeah, I am. The problem is pitching. It's yeah, so the sure. Next Milwaukee starters is Montas, Tobias Myers, and my man Saivaldi.
Go get your boy Cantillo.
I guess he'll make the freaking roster. Oh my god.
Well, ask the expert here. Matt, what would you do if you're in Ryan's messed up shape over there?
I think the game theory is top notch on this one.
Hey, Gavin Williams is available. See, Michael's helping you out in the chat. That's a solid pick compared to Tobias Myers.
Yeah, no, this is tough.
The other tough thing is your outfield with these two teams.
Yeah, like, that's why I was like, I checked some curios there, and I'm like, huh.
You basically have Lane Thomas. Yeah, we don't know about Kwan.
Hey, Ryan, scroll up.
Like, and then do you believe Garrett Mitchell is putting something together finally?
Right. That's the problem, is like there's a lot of bodies in that Milwaukee outfield. And you're right. Combined with Cleveland's outfield, especially without Kwan and Lane Thomas being who he is.
I'm outspoken against Sal Frelick, so don't take Sal Frelick.
Okay.
Guy just has no power.
I need to start sticking to my philosophy and spreading my love in the National League, because I am not a fan of this AL situation.
Your Tigers, you're not a big fan.
Well, I don't mind it because, hey, if they advance to the LCS, yeah. I think it's pretty awesome. But I just like the Astros and the Yankees a lot more for fantasy purposes.
But that's a lot chalkier.
Yeah. So this will be unique to pair. I don't think you'll see a lot of Tigers with Dodgers stacks. Let's put it that way.
Kind of the cool thing though with this Cleveland Milwaukee stack is I have no competition for any of these players.
No, you can sit back and relax.
Yeah. This one you can auto. You can
pretty much can.
You can push the plane as the underdog phrase goes, because there's a little plane by the auto thing.
That's hilarious.
And you can
just set your cue and walk away.
Really? I mean, no one else is gonna take these guys. Lane Thomas, Saivaldi, Kwan, Garrett Mitchell. Like, no one else wants them.
That's funny.
Yeah, here I was talking up badges, and Barton 20 is kind of all over the board again. I think they were in the last draft too.
What's the difference between the red and a black? Do you know?
I'll look it up quick.
Different levels.
Yeah.
But if your little dog has horns, that means you're like...
You're good. You've won something.
Yeah. And then there's a little headband there on your Mortgage Pro, which was like... that was a what's his name? There's a guy named Snapback Jack
Snapback Jack.
He's this... Yeah. He's the head of winning at Underdog, but we don't need to get too deep into that because I have many thoughts. But he has like a big online presence for like younger gamblers or whatever. Anyway, but he had some contests, like, and if you beat his lineup in the contest, you got that.
Okay.
Thing.
Yeah, my dog is pretty normal. Oh well. All right, I'll throw this out to the chat. In my queue right now, I've got Tobias Myers, Aaron Saivaldi, or Matthew Boyd. Looking for suggestions.
That's a good one. I'm going to go with Cole Reagans here to give me another American League pitcher just in case to get through, because this is rough right now pitching-wise. I picked two teams with not good starting pitchers. That's the biggest conundrum. Well, so did you. We picked like the four worst teams for pitching, I think.
Yeah. Detroit, LA, Cleveland, Milwaukee. Yeah,
it's pretty bleak streets.
It is. I'm not a fan of this squad, but hey, but that's the thing with postseason. Milwaukee and Cleveland could certainly go far.
We're going Tigers, Dodgers, everybody. Get ready for some thunder.
So to answer your question there, Ryan, it's the black badge is that they've played in at least 500 drafts.
Okay.
Or won at least six contests with a total prize of at least 2,500.
Okay.
the
really good.
You get a red badge for doing 1,000 contests.
Wow.
Or okay. Won at least four contests with a prize of 1,000 each.
Okay. So we're in some pros, man.
Yeah. Well, I think most people get there on volume. To be honest with you.
Diplomatic way of putting it.
And I got my horns for winning a contest back when the baseball contests were like $300 to first. So I've been playing here a long time.
Yeah, you're pretty good too. So I wouldn't give yourself too much. You just, you know, advance for the dog bowl, you're gonna make thousands of dollars pretty soon.
I've earned them after also, but
yeah, you were in the streets early. I miss the old draft days. I wish that carried over. I did good then. I don't play that as much as I used to.
Yeah, I actually, when Underdog first came out, it threw me off because I didn't understand why the same people were starting the same company with the same product again.
Yeah,
I was like, this seems fishy. There's something weird going on here.
Yeah,
but then I was like, I couldn't resist.
And now look what it is.
Yeah, I used to play on draft also.
Yeah. Were you dark sheep there too?
Probably.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Nice. All right. Final round. How do I screw this up even more?
I feel like you've not screwed anything up, Bubba. I've built a beautiful team here.
I feel like
this is the game three team.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that.
I think you screwed it up.
But. I guess we'll go torque to go full tigers on this one and see where it goes. Go torque to go full tigers.
It was Sweeney.
Sydney?
Yeah.
How many pitchers do you have? I only have three. Oh, okay.
I have four. Reagan's fourth. I have three that could advance with Flaherty, Yamamoto, and Scooble. And then Reagan's I'm just using to hopefully help me with that wild card action.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's interesting, like, I think your pivot to Reagan's, even though you went to a third team, like I take that. I took Savali just to stay on Milwaukee. Like, I don't know. I probably should have gone somewhere.
You could do Barton and take Kershaw. That's a genius pick. So you got that going for us,
man. All right.
All right. That I'm projected for 1,100 points. Yeah. Go Tigers, baby. Go Tigers.
B-Shot in the chat does point out if you took one more Dodgers pitcher, you'd have a full Dodgers staff if they made the World Series.
Yeah, that would have been a smart move. Yes, but like, I think Landon Knack was all that was available. And I guess I should.
I mean, who else there. Is it? Like,
yeah. No, it's
Mueller and then Knack. Is that's the depth chart, right?
And Knack got hit around by the Padres tonight. Well,
the one I almost speculated on earlier was Gonsolin. He might start this Thursday or Friday. Yeah, he could join the rotation.
Yeah,
but
I saw that too.
Yeah, no, that's a good point by B-Shot there. That's me being stupid on that point. That would have made a lot of sense because at least if the Dodgers get to the World Series, I got seven players going. That would have been a smart move. But it's not going to matter because the Tigers are getting there too, everybody. Let's go.
There you go.
Sure. So
let's talk about Ryan's team.
Let's go with that. Well, I mean, my team's even worse than you. What's my team projected for?
I closed it already.
Projections mean nothing. ADP means nothing. Nothing means nothing in this contest. This is the anarchy contest.
So who was going off the wall on this one? It was Barton?
Barton.
Oh, yeah, he did. But he got, like, all the elite players, but all over the board. So, the problem is he's got a team that could get to the finals and just min cash.
Yeah, the bigger problem is that he's got a good – they have a good team to just – prevent you from advancing.
Yeah, that's the annoying part. That was one of the big takeaways from listening to you and Chris talk. It's like, okay, you can do the stacking and that's all fine and dandy, but you still got to get through the rounds to get to the finals.
Like, imagine last year if you stacked Diamondbacks and Rangers and you didn't get through
seven of the 12 teams didn't get to the finals.
Yeah,
that's like rough.
That's tough.
Because I bet you a lot of Phillies teams got there because they did tear it up in the first two rounds.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure all of my – I had five teams in the finals, and they were all Philly stacks.
But yeah, you would think Barton is like the absolute favorite to win the first round in this league. I mean, Bobby Witt in the sixth round, assuming obviously if Kansas City gets
in. I mean, but then they took Kershaw, they took Sale, they took Witt. Like, two of those three players might not even play.
Yeah, that's
at
true.
At this point.
That's true.
Yeah, I don't know why the Kershaw pick, he wasn't even stacking a team, so I'm confused there. like it would have been one thing if it was like my dummy that I needed another Dodgers pitcher. Okay, whatever. But yeah. Free roll in the chat here saying almost 100 wow. teams in the finals last year scored 0 points in the final round.
Out of that, like 300, if it was that last year, let's say like a third.
That's impressive. So you just got to get to the finals and score some points, and you might be in the top like half, basically.
Yeah, unless it's one of the – it ends up being chalk. You know, a chalk combo.
Yeah, that's the fear that all of us game theory people have. Because when we're talking the pennant here, for anybody curious – top price is $10,000. If you are in the top 936, you get $15. Basically, if you make it to the second round, you're going to get $15. If you make it to the finals, the 312th place team, the last place team, gets $75. So you turn your 10 into 75. So all those zeros out there you're talking about, they split because some of those guys are basically 100 to 75 to 100 bucks. They're splitting in that range there. So you're still making some decent scratch. 10th place gets 1,000. So 10th place and above, your four figures are better in this competition. Yeah, that's pretty interesting stuff. I love this. I'm addicted to when I start drafting drafts, it's so great. Like there'll be nights, and I love these because the dingers, you know, they're 20 rounds or whatever. So they take a little bit of time, not a lot, but they take a little bit of time. These, you could just sit there and just wheel them off like left and right, like it's going out of style, which is pretty, pretty sweet stuff. All right. Do we have any more listeners? There we go. B-Shot says, for teams with underdetermined rotations, would you consider some relievers? I know my answer. I'll want to hear your thoughts, Sheep, first.
No. It's simple. It's no. The pitching scoring comes from volume. Like, you get bonuses for wins and quality starts, but the majority of points comes from strikeouts and innings pitched. And, you know, you can get just, you know, even a four inning starter is going to most likely score more across the whole contest for you.
Yeah, that's why it's because I was curious. Like, it'd be fun if in the postseason they changed it where closers got points for saves.
Yeah,
because then it would add a whole new wrinkle to things. Then it could change the game theory also, because now like Ryan could have got Class A and Devin Williams, which still they wouldn't score as much as starters, but it would help tremendously. Right. Well,
they might score more than Savali.
Well, they probably will, but you know my thoughts on that. But yeah, that's why it's tricky. Like with some of these rotations, like Brewers, because even this week they're not throwing more than five innings. Myers threw four innings on Tuesday night, and would you be shocked come postseason if that's how they roll? Like two trips through the rotation and they're out. That's how a lot of these teams are built outside of the Aces. A lot of them.
Yeah.
So like that's why I like to take Wheeler early, but then like I said, it kind of haunts you on the back end type stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, just this conversation shows why I love this contest. It's just so much fun. It's quick, and you can just get so deep in your own rabbit hole of game theory that you make a mistake, and then you're yelling at yourself, and your wife's like, why are you angry?
Yeah. Well, it's such a simple concept, but there's so many different layers to the strategy. And that I think that is what is nice about it is I think it's inviting for like first time or casual players. But then also there's enough depth to once you kind of go down deeper into the game theory and kind of playing off other teams. It's got the kind of complexity to it, too. It's fun.
Well, it's fun because like you have your idea when you walk into the room, and then you're relying on five other people to trust. Plus, not to mention the draft slots you get, which will probably change. Like it tweaked my whole theory on a draft there, so that makes it interesting. Raise at 77 says, "Why so much love for Houston with the state of their bullpen?" I think Houston's going to be fine, but unless you guys
line up and honestly, Framber went second in one of my drafts earlier today. Like he's the quality start machine and volume machine. And then you've got your Yordan, assuming the knee's okay. You've got your Kyle Tucker. You've got the star power, and those guys float up in ADP, and thus a lot of teams have Houston stacks.
Yeah, and I I like their rotation, really.
Yeah, so
I think Brown has just stepped it up, and I regret dropping him. I was one of those.
Early drafts. That's tough.
Many people did.
I do have him on my DC, so he stuck around. I didn't have a chance to drop him.
What are you doing with a guy like Arrigetti? Because a lot of these teams go three-man rotation. Some might go four. So Arrigetti might get a start here and there. But for the most part, you can lock in like Framber, Kikuchi, and Brown. You're getting those three. But now a guy like Arrigetti, who's been so good, he might start one game in one series, but might not start the rest of the postseason type thing. So how do you approach player? And that, there's players like that on multiple teams. But how do you approach that type situation?
I like specifically him. I like him because usually, you know, he's going to pitch one game in the World Series. And let's say, you know, you miss out on Kikuchi and, you know, you're just saying to yourself that the Houston wins those first two games, then Kikuchi gets blown up. And then, you know, you're not getting that Kikuchi score in the World Series. Cause I guess, yeah, he wouldn't get another start. But I just think there's so many variables by the time you get to the World Series that if I'm taking the fourth guy in the rotation, like, it's fine.
Yeah. Tom in the chat says, so since a third of the teams may get 0 points in the final round, spreading to three or four teams makes sense. Yeah, if you don't want to win the whole thing, makes a ton of sense. If you just want to get in cash, totally. Like, Barton's team could legit win the draft we just did in the first round. There's no question about that based on the talent. And then he could potentially sneak through to the finals. Like, that depends on how many guys get through. But
yeah. And I think the important thing to consider there is the strangeness of who made the World Series last year.
Yeah.
And that is a contributing factor to the amount of teams that got 0 points there. And, you know, the chances of that happening are fairly low. So I wouldn't play for that necessarily.
Yeah. One of these years, we're going to get a chalk World Series and it's going to blow this whole tournament up.
Yeah, two years ago on the football playoff contest, the Eagles Chiefs, that was in the opposite direction. That was a nuts final because it was almost impossible to get those guys through with the byes.
Interesting. Huh. Anything else, Ryan? This has been a lot of fun. Like, I'm probably going to go draft a few more tonight, but I don't think we need to put them all on live feed.
No, we don't need to put them all on live
feed. And whatever, but the way that these go, I think Barton was in both of those drafts. They are probably going to be in your next draft too.
Yeah,
they're probably queued up for a bunch of them. So this is where you need, you know, it's worth paying attention to who's making the bad teams. And just even if you want to write them down on your phone or whatever, and like, just know going in, this guy's going to be a problem.
Like, I remember when the bunts were like $3, so I was just entering them like wildfire one night, just loading up on them. And it was me and like, it's a 10 team draft. I think at least half of each draft, it was the same group of us single time drafting that in those leagues. And you do get kind of a sense, okay, this guy likes so and so, this guy likes so and so. And now, this is different game theory than the regular season one, but same idea. You kind of get the same feel and same crew rolling in. Like, it'd be fun to be like, hey, everybody log in at this time and get in, but that's never going to happen.
Yeah.
Because they're probably all like Chris and they've reserved 150 of them and they're just kind of as they fill, they're in them basically.
Yeah.
All right. So we will wrap it up there. That was a ton of fun. Before we head out, Matt Sheep, why don't you plug all your fun stuff once again?
Yeah. First of all, thank you guys for having me. I appreciate, people finding Underdog and spreading the best ball love, because, you know, it's, I do play a couple of the NFBC teams each year, but this is my focus and my love. And I think it's the best way for people to get into fantasy baseball. There's so many people that do fantasy football, best ball already on Underdog, just trying the baseball stuff next year. And if you want to do that, come to stackingdingers.com. That's our Substack. The YouTube is Stacking Dingers. We'll be covering the whole draft season, specifically with a focus on best ball. Hope to do a little more DK content next year too, because they have a fairly big contest. But yeah, and then the Sheep Seats on YouTube also is where I do all my live drafting, usually Friday or Saturday nights.
Nice, nice. And that's fun. I've been a part of that one evening. I actually went from, I think it was my show or if it was Stacking Dingers. And then I went
It was your show. You had Chris and I on your show.
Yeah, that's right.
And then I said, hey, you want to come draft?
Yeah, did like a home and home.
Yeah, so we did two drafts that night. And I wasn't in the first one. I couldn't get in. So I'm doing mine on the side just like Ryan did. And I'm but that was a blast too. Like it's fun. If you guys just want to learn about Underdog, like watch Sheep's drafts. Like you'll pick up on a lot of stuff. He's usually sitting there drinking a cold one, just doing some drafts, mingling with the chat. And it's highly educational and entertaining at the same time. So check it all out. Ryan, any final thoughts before we head out of here?
No, just thank you, Sheep, for the time, for the constructive criticism on some of our picks there. But really had a good time, and again, hopefully the listeners out there, we got to kind of see the strategy part at the beginning, and then watch us, at least me and Bubba, not implement the strategies.
You guys did great on that last one.
Yeah, it was definitely a contrarian set of builds. That's for darn sure. And the other four people, the other three, Barton excluded, really enjoyed the fact that we let them have all the good players in the middle. We left them alone pretty much.
When I quickly realized after the second round that I'm just drafting against myself in my own little corner in the last pick here. But hey, that's the contrarian way to go. So we'll see. I don't know.
All right. Quick reminder, everybody, no show Thursday night. We'll be back with you guys Sunday. Final day of the regular season to recap things. So no show Thursday night. But as we head out of here, make sure once again you follow Sheep on Twitter at D4RKSH33P _ Dark Sheep on the Twitter. Follow Ryan at RyanBHQ and myself at BDintric. Until next time, this was Bubba and the Bloom, episode 172. Catch you all later.